thank every single one of you for coming out. This is very important. This is very vital. Black lives have always mattered. We have always been important. We have always meant something. We have always succeeded, regardless. And now is the time. I ain't waiting. I ain't waiting.
Welcome back to Black People Go to Therapy Too, a podcast that focuses on the mental health journeys of people of color. In light of the pain, the fear, the hurt, and the anger we, the Black community, are feeling during protests sparked by the blatant killings of Black folks by law officers across the nation, we're doing something different. In this episode, there will be no hosts or person being interviewed, but instead, you'll hear from those in our community sharing what they're feeling, what they're experiencing, and what they're finding difficult about navigating these times of uncertainty and times where hope is fleeting. These are their voices. These are their truths. These are their stories.
All of this news first broke about George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and the uprising in Minneapolis, I felt really sad and hopeless. I didn't really feel like I had anything to hold on to. I was really upset about the state of the world, and I felt like, you know, Black people were out here in this pandemic being lambs for slaughter.
Shit is fucking hard. I cry pretty much twice a day. It's just a lot. It's a lot to see us fight for something so simple. And even in our fight to say stop killing us, even with our hands up, even with our hearts open, even with our arms open, you are so quick to shoot us. A bullet is a bullet. Who gives a fuck if it's a rubber bullet? Who cares? Tear gas, you're gassing us. Like, our message is so simple. So for the response to be so negative, for the response from the police to be so violent, for the police to claim to not do these things and yet instigate violence in protests is just fucking disgusting. And yet I think the media is doing us a huge disservice. The headlines are still incorrect. They're focusing on the wrong things. Every single headline comes with racing thoughts of that could be me, that could be my friend, that could be my cousin, that could be my brother, that could be my niece, that could be anybody who I love and adore and wish to protect with my entire being. And that's a heavy fucking feeling to carry around you. It's like every headline we mourn. It's enough. Like, it's just too much sometimes. It's fully too much sometimes.
Well, when that first happened, I remember just feeling just incredibly overwhelmed because we've already been cooped up inside for so long, and I was just waiting for just an announcement okay, we can go back outside, you know, if you keep your distance. And so I was really looking forward to that and going forward to runs at night specifically. And, you know, one of my fears when we started to get just put on lockdown because of the COVID-19 was people are going to be locked inside. It's already starting to feel like the purge outside. And I was just starting to feel this thing of I feel like people are going to start acting out because attention is elsewhere. And, you know, wanting to go out for a run was a way to get that out of my system and just kind of, you know, decompress. And then when that happened, I was just I'm not going outside at night. And I've never felt that way before. And it was just one of those things where I was just I don't want to right now. It was just like, it just immediately kind of just changed my routine on like how I wanted to go about things, because that was specifically the time that I wanted to go out, because I was like, no one's gonna be out. And then I'm like, well, like, I don't know, it just highlighted like a fear, because I was one of those things I was thinking. I was like, you know, it already feels pretty, you know, desert out here. And so just with that happening, I was just like, that kind of took it up a notch for me.
You probably hear a helicopter flying above our apartment here in New York.
Yeah, this is all we hear all night, is just helicopters flying low, trying to control protesters
force the mayor's stupid curfew.
Went from 11 p.m. to 8 p.m.
But yeah, it's been tough. It's been tough, you know, since this started. It's tough today, you know. Some days are good, and then some days are not so good.
And I think that one of the things I do appreciate is that I've been very distracted by my job. I teach children, which doing it online is a whole other like beast that I'm not going to get into. But I think what's been the weirdest thing is that a lot of my kids actually live in a lot of the neighborhoods that the protests are going through. And so for some of them, they were talking to me about just how like smoke was coming into their apartments, how they could hear like gunshots and just like loud noises happening all day long, especially over the weekend when the protests were happening, or just confused about what was going on.
And just to preface, a lot of his students are from Black and brown communities.
All of them.
Kindergartners, about 5. So it's also a thing that these 5-year-olds are weirdly experiencing and don't necessarily have the language to kind of process, I think, in the same ways that we are trying to process.
And I've tried to like ask parents kind of how much their kids know about what's going on, and some kids are like very explicitly aware of everything that's been going on. But then you also have the kids who are like very, if you hear that, it's a helicopter again, who are very much just completely unaware of what's going on, which is baffling to me personally. And I think that one of the reasons I appreciate having my job is that I can't just sit on my laptop or on my phone scrolling through everywhere we get news and just constantly be bombarded with all of what's going on.
I don't want to have to sit here and explain to my coworkers about how racism has affected Black lives, because they should know that by now. And about how gentrification is concerning and it displaces us. And about how we should be supporting Black-owned, Black-founded businesses and organizations. Because no shit. You know, they steal our culture, they steal our knowledge, they steal our tactics, and they profit off of us, and yet they want to all lives matter us. It's crazy. It's like the delusion that infuriates me so much. And the thought of my non-Black friends sitting at home crying about how they can't be themselves, I didn't have a choice. You know, we don't have a choice. We can't not expose ourselves. So, you know, you have had plenty of time to learn about Black history and oppression and segregation. And you should know that white people segregate themselves from us so that they don't have to live with the consequences.
I think about how frustrated a lot of people must feel, and I feel, you know, being asked to continue to work throughout this pandemic that's disproportionately affecting Black people because of so many issues, and how Black and brown people are the essential workers of this country. You know, the sanitation workers, the fast food workers, the grocery workers, the nurses, people who don't have the opportunity or the luxury to work from home and, you know, keep themselves safe. And, you know, being asked to lay themselves out on the line to keep the economy going and to keep, you know, rich white people fed and pampered and make sure that their streets are clean and the plumbing system works and stuff like that.
I feel like the people that try and pull attention away from things, they're always going to drum up people that will say, hey, you're pulling attention away from this. This is why. Here's a link. Here's a video. Boom, boom, boom. Like, I feel like it's become that way when people try and, because the media does that. That's what we're seeing right now. They're showing all this, this propaganda of cops, you know, kneeling and stuff. Like, even anytime I see any of that, I just scroll right past it because it's just a diversion, because it's clearly not, because people are already saying, like, they're screenshotting it, saying this is a diversion, blah, blah, blah. So if you see just the thumbnail of the video, you already know to scroll past it. Like, that's what I appreciate about this time right now, is the fact that we are so reactive to everything. It's not just, you know, a small group of people. It's that small group of people gets, you know, reposted and retweeted quite quickly. So I feel like the people that don't say anything are more dangerous, because I think it can be so many different things that's not expressed, because some people, they really don't know what to say. Some people don't care, and they're just not going to say anything. Some people really want something to say, they just don't know how to express it. And a lot of people, you know, they feel misinformed, or they don't feel, they don't want to come across as misinformed.
Okay, I'm not really sure how to start this, how to go about this, but I'm here. So, in response to the request and just how we're unpacking everything right now, I'm certain what I'm doing to deal with the current situation is very unique. It's very different, and I feel it's necessary. For me right now, even though I am fully entrenched in social media, watching everything go down, seeing myriads of videos that I normally would not be able to watch, I'm still able to retain my sense of self. And when I say that, I mean, I guess I am a little numb to it and compartmentalizing it for a specific reason. Simply because one thing I don't want this moment to do for me is to steal any joy that I've found in the midst of chaos. Because as a Black person living in this country, I have time and time again had to find joy in the midst of chaos to keep going. I feel that in finding that joy, that that's a sacred act for us as Black people, that that is not something that you will find really anywhere else, because it's what we know. It's kind of all we know.
I'm very, very in tune with what's been happening, and it's kind of unfortunate that how, you know, readily available, you know, information is, both as a blessing and a curse, because it is very easy, and I have found myself kind of just scrolling through videos upon videos of, you know, Black and brown people being brutalized, a lot of Black people, you know, very just emotional over what is going on, and you know, you can't help but also be emotional with everything that's happening. You know, it's a simple of question of, you know, why can't the police be held accountable for their actions in the same way that, you know, civilians are held accountable for actions? And specifically, Black people are held accountable for actions sometimes when they don't even commit said actions. So it is really frustrating, and it, you know, you think that the next time something will happen and nothing happens, and they excuse it and they find reasons to excuse it. And, you know, it's sad that we have to, during a pandemic, go out onto the streets, because, I mean, what else really can we do at this point? Like, making the choice between whether a virus or the state will kill you is really the option, the two options you have.
It's been ingrained in us that the only way that we can maybe potentially, and this isn't even a guarantee, the only way we can potentially be heard is if we sound like an intellectual, is if we kind of take away, you know, all the emotional aspects of what's going on, and we say it in a way that white colleagues might actually be like, oh, well, since you put it that way,
exactly,
you know, I understand. Oh, that's smart. Yes, I hear how those facts could, you know, lead this to be true. Like, it's just, I hate that is my initial thought in my initial process when it comes to talking about these things that happen in our communities and this trauma that happens to us and that we carry on with us and that we pass down throughout our generations. We don't have to vocalize this in a way that seems proper, in a way that seems like it's going to wake, you know, white people up. And that's something I'd really challenge myself with. It's like, if all you can say is this is some fucked up shit, then say that, because that is expressing it. That is authentic. That's seeing it in the moment. Yeah. And who gives a damn if white people are going to be able to connect to that? Because I need to get that out. I need to express it. And my people, they know what I mean.
Right now, the one emotion that I'm feeling is anger. I feel like Solange right now because I have a whole lot to be mad about. One thing that is just boiling, making my blood boil the most, is that right now as a nation, we're supposed to be focused fighting against Corona. But every time we turn around, Black bodies and Black communities have to put themselves out on the line just to fight for civil rights and fight for things that we should be granted as an American citizen. Everybody is supposed to be in the house right now, social distancing. We've been commuting from home. The economy has taken a crash because of coronavirus. But yet here we are in the midst of a pandemic, a global pandemic, having to fight for our rights, having to make sure that we don't die in these streets. So that just cancels those social distancing out the window. So then that leads to another thing. Black people again are going to get blamed for, like, we get blamed for everything in this nation. When Trump got voted into office, it was because, quote unquote, Black people didn't vote, yet we're only 14% of the population. Now we're going to get blamed for the second spike of coronavirus, yet we're not going to take the look at, hey, we wouldn't be in these streets having to protest if it wasn't for police brutality and injustices. If all this could have been avoided by a district attorney signature, all this could have been avoided by charges pressed against people who did wrong. But yet here we are again, looking at us like we're crazy out of our mind.
So for it to be, you know, we're doing the work, and by we, I mean Black people are doing the work. But I feel like the media coverage and the positivity that's circling this came as a result of white validation. And that seems like, damn, like a double-edged sword. Like, you finally see us, but at the same time, you finally see us. We've been saying this for so long.
Like the whole Amy Cooper thing, because it was like just seeing it from like such a, like a grand scale of, okay, this person wants to go and exercise and they were gunned down. And this person's just asking someone to follow the rules, you know, in a park, and it could have gotten to a way, like, we all know that situation of just that look that, you know, white people have where they're just like, I can make this very hard for you. And it was literally like watching Get Out in real life, where she was like, you know, I can't do that. I can't give you the keys. And I was like, wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. She's really doing the heightened voice and all. It's like, there's just no shame in it. That's the thing. I was just like, wow.
Mm-hmm. It just seems so evil. That's the creepy and scary thing, is that it seems so intentionally just evil. Yes. And somehow the people who are, you know, acting this way, saying these things, doing these things, don't understand how it seems evil. And I'm just like, well, what is it, your extreme? Yeah. What is that moment where you feel like, oh yeah, maybe I went too far, maybe I used too much force, maybe I pulled my white woman card out to,
yeah,
you know, get this black person or person of color out of my face? Like, what is your, what's the level where you think it's too much? Because if that is normal, nothing to you, then that is scary.
Right? It's just like, it seems like there is no level. It's just, I feel like there's always some sort of justification for anything. It's like, they always want to play devil's advocate. There's so many people, I've seen so many things going around right now. I'm just like, why would you want to advocate for the devil in the first place? Like, in any situation, why would you want to promote that thought process? And it was just, I don't understand. It's such a diversion tactic that it's, mm-hmm. I'm so glad that people are calling it out now, that it's like, no, you can't use that as a way to deflect your discomfort.
Luckily, in today's society, we finally have technology. But let's be honest, this has been occurring for generations and years. The only thing different is that we're able to record it. And that is a positive thing, right? But is it really positive? We're positively recording facts that have occurred related to police brutality, but are people getting convicted? Are things changing? Are people being, you know, accounted for what they actually did? Last week had a man die right in front of us by a man kneeling on his neck for over 8 minutes and passing away due to the fact that he was unable to breathe. These are things that I consider, and these are things that makes me scared and worried for myself. I'm not okay, and I really wish, to be honest, white people would stop asking me, am I okay? Because I'm not. But can they help me? No, they cannot. I'm really tired of my coworker saying, oh, you live in Chicago. How are the riots? You know, did you take any pictures? I'm not taking pictures for your entertainment. I'm not taking pictures to make you feel better. I'm not going to engage you to tell you these are some of the things that you should read or literature that you should be aware of or things that you should be concerned about. It is on for you to do that for yourself and not for me to educate you. These things make me angry and upset. But still, I'm here and I talk to my friends and I talk to my family and I pray that things get better for all of us in the future.
So many people are kind of recognizing that how they vocalize their pain and trauma has kind of been funneled through this way of, you know, cut yourself open and show us so that, mm-hmm. you know, we can give a shit. And then, but, you know, but put it in these words, you know, put on your LinkedIn voice and, you know, mm-hmm. say it in these terms and, you know, kind of present it in a way. So you're performing trauma, like, you know, come on, perform trauma for us.
It's like there's this exhaustion that comes with feeling fed up, feeling tired, feeling scared, feeling anxious, feeling fearful. And that just starts with our own lives. And when we include feeling the same anxiety and anxiousness over our brothers, over our sisters, our nieces, our nephews, our parents, and our grandparents, it just tears at you. It eats away at your happiness. It eats away at your hope. It eats away at all of these things that we've been working so hard to grasp and to hold. And that's difficult.
We have to put ourselves on the line. We can't protect our community from this virus. We can't protect our elders who are more susceptible to this virus. Everything in our community is being ravaged right now because of everything that has been going on. This has been a constant buildup, and it makes me so mad to see that no one looks, everybody's looking at the symptoms of the buildup. Everybody's looking at, oh, this action, this action, this action, but nobody's taking responsibility of all the things that have led us here. And it makes me so mad because it's a constant thing that goes on. And we've been saying it for centuries, for eons, and yet nobody has taken the time to listen. So yes, I'm extremely mad about that.
I'm also tired because I've been working really hard during the day and doing as much as I can for other people, and then coming home and then sitting on my phone and trying to catch up with everything that's been happening now worldwide. And I lay in my bed and I sit on Twitter, and the next thing you know, the birds are chirping. And then I sleep for a couple of hours and I try to do it all over again. It's been pretty insane. So I'm just trying to remind myself, with the help of my beloved friends, to take care of my needs as well, because I haven't been doing that.
I don't think people understand how big their voice can be just by showing solidarity during a specific time.
Mm-hmm.
It took all these protests and thousands of people, you know, and all these different communities coming together to say, you know, this is not how you're going to treat people. And it took all of that to get four people arrested. And here we go. Or three people, or however. But I mean, but also multiple cases are being reopened now. Mm-hmm. Multiple things are being looked into, and people are finally seeing how deep the roots of this go in terms of business, because I feel like people are really seeing how dirty the money is and how dirty, you know, everything is intertwined. And it's just like, you're silent because I think you're trying to figure out, you're realizing how complicit you are.
I keep coming back to in all this, like the length of time in which white people have remained silent until this point, even when we were screaming, even when we were yelling to listen to us. But it took this moment here for them to finally see, look, there is no fault of our own. And we keep telling you it's not our fault. We don't deserve to die.
After news about Breonna Taylor and George Floyd and Tony McDade and so many others, you know, sort of reached a boiling point, and people in Minneapolis took to the streets and started making their voice heard and rioting and protesting, I thought about how unfair it was that, once again, you know, in the middle of a global pandemic, Black people are the ones who have to put their lives on the line for a fight that they shouldn't have to fight. You know, it shouldn't be a question that Black lives matter, and it shouldn't be a question that, you know, we're valued and that we deserve to be loved and safe and to live and be and pursue happiness like the Constitution says.
And I think it's just about being constantly overwhelmed. It's very hard to like sit down and decide to try and process those emotions without just feeling like I need to shut down, or like I just like want to start crying, just because it feels like I've been having the same conversation going over and over again from like, I think like my first real like conscious memory of this all is like 2010, I want to say, with having the conversation about police brutality. And it's incredibly frustrating that, frustrating is an understatement, but it is incredibly frustrating that I am continuing to have the same conversation, really just trying to validate the fact that Black people should be treated like human beings that deserve to be treated with respect and not be brutalized. And it's horrible to realize that there are people just walking around who don't get it, who don't really believe that we're being brutalized in this way, when there are countless videos and pictures and examples of Black people being beaten and attacked and killed for simply existing.
Where do we even begin? Honestly, that's the question. I think I've been thinking a lot to myself about where my feelings start and really end. And I think that's it may not make sense, but it's just like we as Black people, I as a Black person, have harbored such deep and profound love for us. And with that comes deep and profound hurting for us ever since I realized I was a part of us, right? So that I think that stems from the first time I realized I was Black, the first time I was reminded I was Black, the first time I was seen as other by people who quote unquote love me, right? Supposed to be my friend, from people I've never even met before. So it just seems like so much of this is hard to break away. And it's so different, the experience for us, than the experience I'm seeing with my white friends or white counterparts. And I think for them, it frustrates me. Like, for so long, Black people have calling out, pointing to the smoke, right? Let's just say the smoke is some racist-ass action, is racism, and there is a fire. And it just feels like white people continue to need the facts. So while I'm seeing the outpouring of support from white and non-Black Latino populations, from Asian populations, it's kind of just like a big old fuck you at the same time, because we've been saying this for so long.
I feel energetic. I feel very self-empowered, because I feel like I have trained myself to be an activist for quite some time now, and I'm lucky enough to know how to take action during these times and be really specifically opportunistic about where to get people to donate, where to volunteer, what to talk about, how to get people to mobilize. And that's the kind of stuff I like doing because I love to help people. And yeah, I can sit here and talk about the trauma that I've experienced growing up, witnessing my father be brutalized as a disabled Afro-Latino man, and the miscommunication that revolves around that, and his innocence, and how it's affected our custody, and et cetera, and so on and so forth. But I've experienced that life. I don't feel like I need to rehash it, because at this point I need to, you know, continue to be strong and live my life for other people.
Things occur and stresses occur between non-Black Latinos and Black people, and being a part of both worlds is just like, our oppressors are the same, y'all. But I think that's a valid point, that people of color are not Black people. Those are two different things. Please refer to which one you are speaking to when you share these memes, when you have these profound thoughts, because we are not being executed in the same ways. We are not being treated in the same ways. We experience racism very differently. So be mindful of that shit. But I just want to say, I think we definitely need to take care of one another. I think staying connected is so important. My boundaries have been all fucked up. There have definitely been feelings of mania, of just, you know, hearing Trump speak and give that dumbass, fucking stupid, scripted ass speech, tear gassing protesters. And for what? A photo opportunity. It just sends you over the edge. Is enough. Like, this isn't a game. And at what point do you realize that the world is catching on to this white supremacy bullshit? The world is catching on. And I just want that to be that.
It's hard. Like, making a meal for yourself feels like a lot of work, because you've spent so much energy from the moment you wake up to, like, you know, in grieving, in taking the time to let yourself feel, to doing just like the things that you have to do, you know, just on the daily. It just becomes a little hard sometimes to kind of feel like certain things need to be done.
And I think that it's like hard because I think I decide sometimes to just check out from really like knowing what's going on so that I can kind of do those really basic things to take care of myself, like shower and brush my teeth and eat. And I would like to not feel like I'm moving mountains every time that happens. But yet I find myself every day just like really like having to move heaven and earth to get myself to do these things.
So I'm looking forward to a cultural revolution, a renaissance, a new world of Black art and Black music and Black stories and Black organizations and the success of Black businesses, because we're going to have this stage from now. We need to stop relying on the methods that were being imposed on. We need to stop using the same tactics to tell our story. We need to start using different lenses and different outlets, and we have to be fearless. And so I'm excited. I'm excited for this to be effective. I'm excited for people to mobilize and to find their inner community organizers.
The cops. Fuck the brutality. Enough is enough. The fuck did we ever do would be Black? Nothing. Like, we are people too, and we are worthy of love, and we are worthy of feeling validated, and we are worthy of our emotions, and we should be honored for our contributions to this fuck-ass country.
And people ask, how are you holding up? I don't know. How would you be holding up if you saw people who look like you, who are brutally murdered and killed, and then you see white people just completely ignoring it, going about their days, posting about their dogs, posting about their vacations, posting about all of these things that don't matter? How am I feeling? I'm feeling like shit. I'm feeling unsupported. I'm feeling like I must be going crazy because I'm obviously the only one upset about these things, and all these white people in my life who had told me how much they love and care and cherish me aren't saying anything.
And no, I'm not going to write a script for you to read at work in a meeting, or write a list of things you should read, or create a spreadsheet of organizers and organizations to support, because that's your homework to be doing. We have plenty of things we need to tackle within our own community, because all Black lives matter. Black trans lives matter. We need to center our energy on working on and dismantling our anti-feminism and our transphobia and our colorism, and learning the difference between race and nationality. So we don't have the time, we don't have the energy to teach everybody else about our culture. And the problem is it stems from the 18 years of Anglo-centric colonial education. And then we have to, like Amanda Seale says, learn our own history and then teach it back to you. How can I trust that things won't go back to quote-unquote normal? How can I trust that things won't go back to normal if I have to do all the work for you and then tell you what to read?
Well, I feel like I've seen a lot of collective anger, and I think anger is a tool that we need to harness and use and come together in this moment and really affect change, because we have the momentum, we have the numbers, we have the best minds in the world. Black people are so brilliant and funny and creative and powerful and loving. And I think that, you know, as long as we keep up this momentum and we keep loving each other and we keep fighting against injustice and organizing, I think that we'll come out of this better than we were before. And so those are my thoughts.
I feel like we're all learning right now, like how to process in real time and, you know, how to be, you know, vocal about the fact that we're processing. And I think that's something that I don't think we've done as like on a large scale before, like just saying, hey, I'm going through some shit right now. I'm trying to, you know, actually, you know, figure it out. And I feel like people are being more receptive to that.
I don't know what society will be like after this. Are we on the edge of a new civil rights and police brutality movement where people will be held accountable for what they actually did? Or will we suffer even longer and still go back into an enslavement period of things hoping we shall overcome, but we don't?
But being in this space and allowing me to express this really does help. It does give me a sense of relief, a sigh of relief. So I'm really happy and I'm thankful that this platform has allowed us to speak out on it. I wish that anger wasn't the only feeling that I felt. I have felt moments of inspiration looking out and seeing the Black community come together and actually band together and march and protest and say enough is enough. So that really has been inspirational to me. But at the end of the day, it really does make me mad to see that we have to go through this constantly in the middle of a global pandemic that is literally wiping out lives. We have to continue to fight for our lives on more than one avenue and also continue to validate our experiences.
It's not over. We got to keep fighting. We got to stay strong. We got to also, though, be vulnerable and break down and cry and scream and yell and get it out. Don't hold this shit in because it's toxic. And we're just better than this. We deserve better than this. We're so fucking dope. Like, that's the crazy part. We are so fucking dope. So I think that's what's getting me through. Even when I break down and cry, even when I feel intense rage, even when I just, like my rage, I could walk through walls. It's just nice to know and always come back to the centering feeling of just being ultimately dope. And they can't take that from us. They can try. And we will continue to fight.
For me, I think that it's been important for me to move my body during these times, to sweat as a form of shedding some of the pain that I feel right now. But then also to make sure I'm taking care of my body properly. So I've lacked an appetite for the last few days for obvious reasons. And I have been reminding myself to eat 3 meals a day and to drink lots of water, to stay hydrated, to put my phone down and take a break from social media, a break from the news, turn on my Netflix and watch something that brings me black joy. I think it's been important for me to also not respond or feel obligated to respond to people who are reaching out with words of concern or care if I don't feel like it. So putting myself at the top of my priority list has been my priority, and I encourage my fellow black and brown people to and queer people this as well to do that during this time. Put yourself first, and in whichever way that means, take time for yourself, and just try to do one thing a day that's going to bring you some type of joy and peace.
Sending love to all of my black family, all of my black queer family, my black trans family. I love you guys, and I hope you can stay strong.
But yeah, at the end of the day, when I think about everything that we go through, I wouldn't change anything about my blackness. I would never trade it in. I would never wish to be different. I will always choose to be black, hands down, time and time and time again. You can pay me to be what the oppressor thinks they all big and bad for. I'm good on that. But I guess I will say, keep up a good fight. Please don't feel like you aren't doing enough. I feel like I'm not doing enough. I feel like I need to be in the front lines every day and fuck my job and not realize that I too can contribute in a meaningful way, whether it's monetarily, whether it is doing a car caravan, whether it is reaching out to friends and telling them I love them and thinking about them and checking up on them every single day, because we need this. We need that right now.
So there it is. There you have it. We as black people have endured so much pain and hurt at the hands of white supremacy and racism. But here we are, still standing, still speaking out, still marching, still breathing, still sharing our stories of strength and perseverance. Because at the end of the day, despite all that we've gone through and the generations before us, we have always mattered. We will continue to fight. We are still here. Because of that, change is going to come. This concludes another session of Black People Go to Therapy Too. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at Black People Therapy, Facebook at Black People Go to Therapy Too, and Twitter at Black PPL Therapy. Thanks.